like to deal with one issue which I think is really at the forefront of our minds, whether we articulate it or not. And that is, after spending an entire month of preparation of Elul, a month of concentrated spirituality, beginning with Rosh Hashanah in the month of Tishrei, the 10 days of repentance of Seres Yimei Tshuva, culminating in the fast of Yom Kippur, the whole Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchas Torah experience, I think the question that is on all of our minds is the title of the Shir, Now What? How do we go from such an intense spiritual experience back into our normal everyday week? How are we able to take from this experience and allow it to somehow transform us? And that question, my friends, is the question that I'd like to deal with today. It's the question that Rav Pinkus asked in source number 1, where he says, Ma anu lokim imanu limashecha derech lemeshech hashana? What is it that we're taking with us for the rest of the year? And he quotes a famous Ramban Nachmanides on the verse in Shir HaShirim of In ta'iru v'in ta'orua ta'avat she'techpat, that when a person has this orus, an awakening, at she'techpat, it behooves us to make a chayfet, to make some type of utensil, some type of kli, to hold that inspiration that it's not lost. The imagery that Rav Pinkus offers is like a person who mines for gold and collects a tremendous amount of gold. But if you don't have some type of bucket or some type of container to hold all the gold, so then you're just going to leave it behind. What is this container that we can take with us, that we're able to take this golden experience of these past 2 months and make them part and parcel of our lives? Now what? That's the question I'd like to deal with. Before responding to this question, Amir Tzashem, on 2 levels, I'd like to be able, first and foremost, to have a sense of what is it that we've accomplished in these 2 months. What is the goal that we've done? If we have an understanding of what we're supposed to take with us, it gives us a clearer vision of then how to create the appropriate vessel to take this gold with us. What was the gold? So Rav Pinkus speaks about in source number 2 that one could divide the Jewish calendar year into 2. The Pesach Shavuos experience is more of the intellectual, academic experience of knowledge of God. However, in source 4, Rosh Hashanah begins the Chelek HaSheni HaLamaisa, begins the real action, where it's important not only to believe, but now to do. Shifruim Masechem, to improve our ways, to give more stucco, to speak less Lashon Hara, to daven with more intensity. This is the time of really focusing in on our practical relationship with Hashem. There's a beautiful idea which is not in front of us that I'd like to share, that I just learned over Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeret, from Rav Wolfson and Emunati Techa Mo'adi, which I think gives us a real clear sense of what Rav Pinkus is talking about and a clear sense of the direction of the goal that we need to keep in mind. Rav Wolfson explains that we know that our sukkah parallels the Beis HaMikdash, and there are many parallels that are found within our rabbis, is that after we have the forgiveness of Yom Kippur, we enter into a experience of total closeness and seclusion with God, like the Beis HaMikdash. Our sukkah resembles this experience. As we know, our rabbis speak about, was the temple something, was the tabernacle something that God really desired or not? And the response of the rabbis is, before the Jewish people sinned with the sin of the golden calf, God really envisioned, perhaps according to some commentators, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, within our hearts, among the righteous people God would dwell, we wouldn't need a physical structure. But after we sinned, sin causes this distancing between ourselves and Hashem, we need a physical structure. Explains Rav Wolfson so beautifully. On the last day of Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, when we have now on Hoshana Rabbah gone around the Bima 7 times. It reminds us of the vision of circling Jericho 7 times when the walls came tumbling down. The 7 times, the culmination of Sukkot, is really the experience of breaking down all the barriers of us and our negativity. Wherein now we have been able to get complete forgiveness. Hoshana Rabbah is really the end. The Gemar Hadin, we dress in a kittel, right? We have a long davening, a yantif davening. This is the end of the judgment period. We've now gotten completely forgiven. At this point, it's as if we no longer need the sukkah. At this point, it's as if we have returned to a level of being pure, a level before sin. And in such a case, we don't need our sukkah to be the model of the temple. Each and every individual takes on that model in its place. Each and every individual perfect themselves. We know that every individual is like a letter in the Torah. We have reached a level of total perfection. The Torah is totally perfect. And that's why he explains every individual gets an aliyah to the Torah. Because everyone has perfected himself. The barriers have come down. What is the experience? What is the apex of Shemini Atzeret, Simchas Torah? It's really the idea of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Within me, I have created a sanctuary. It's that I have come to such an extent of closeness to Hashem, they don't even need a sukkah. I don't even need a physical medium to connect me with Hashem. The closeness, the kirvas elokim lito, the closeness to Hashem, which is so good, is so palpable, is so tangible. If this is the experience, and this is the climax, so I think it just begs our question even further. How do we hold on? How do we keep on going? And Rafinkus gives, I think, as a very beautiful mashal in source number 9. He says it's like a person, he says this really is true of every Shabbos, who gets a check. Malay the Kedusha Vatara. Right? You get a check of tremendous amount of holiness, of purity. But we know that the only way that a check has any value is to deposit it in the bank. So if I would write you out a check for $1 million, and I hand you the check, and I say to you, are you a millionaire? So if you respond to me, no, I'm not a millionaire, all I have is a piece of paper, I say to you, fool, go to the bank, deposit the money, and you'll become a millionaire. Likewise with us. This period of time is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's given us a check of a tremendous amount of sanctity and purity. What we have to do is to deposit the check. We have to make sure that we're able to take this experience and allow it to cash it in the bank, allow it to become part and parcel of who we are. Which again, we come back to our original question, how do we do this? What do we do? So, the Sefer, which we'll use extensively today, the Sichot Yitzchaskut, Rasi Meir Zilberberg, who's known for his very long shalshutuses in Yeshiva Nachlas Yaakov. Person, if you ever watch him teach, he dances around when he teaches. He's a person who's on fire. Sefer is on fire. It's not a Sefer available in stores, only from his yeshiva. Where he says in source number 10, V'ritzon Hashem Yisparach, God's will is, Shinismach v'niyaker v'nachshiv. God wants us to appreciate kol mashehu shezachinu lasot b'yamim tovim. First and foremost, in order to cash in the check, is you have to realize that the check has value. You have to realize that all the mitzvot we've done, even part of the mitzvot that we've done, have value. V'shinamin shakol melaveh otanu b'meshach kol ha'shana kula. And that all that we've done stays with us throughout the entire year. If you don't think that the check has value, if you look at yourself and you say, you know, I'm basically the same person, okay, I've gained a couple of pounds, I've sweated in the kitchen a little bit more, I've washed more dishes, and that's all that I can describe myself as changing. So you're right, you may think I haven't really changed. So the first and foremost yesod that a person has to understand in their life is that we have changed. The first and foremost that we have to recognize is that every mitzvah we've done, every aspect of our life has been moving forward, that we have grown, we have developed. There has been a metamorphosis that has gone on within us, and we have to appreciate that. We have to value that. We have to recognize that the check has a value to it. Even afilu in the arrow in 10, in lo margishim klal sum dava. Even if you feel like you haven't changed, ein ze mishaneh klal, it doesn't matter. Ki haemet hi shekol neshama b'Yisrael zachta. Every single neshama, every single soul has been worthy of vasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu. Vasiyenu is a lashon of masua. Vasiyenu literally means that Hashem lifted us up. But it's much deeper than that. It's a language of fire. Masua is a torch. Vasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem has ignited us. We have been on fire. We have changed. No one can go through an intense experience of such closeness, of so many mitzvot, and have not changed an iota. Vasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu. We have changed. We are on fire. We are different people. And therefore, when I recognize this, what do I need to do to cash the check in the bank? I have to levakesh v'lachzor tamid. I have to constantly ask Hashem, please Hashem, help me take this experience and be able to put it into my life. Part of the experience of cashing in the check is making it part of who you are, of davening to Hashem, of saying, of allow me to be Be'or p'nei melech chayim, allow me to have the light of the living countenance. Allow me to experience and to feel and to go on with this dynamic that I have felt. And this explains, my friend, in source number 12, the very famous Medrash which begs the obvious question. With the Medrash describes Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah as God is saying, Kasha alei pregatcha. You know, I spent so much time together in the whole month of Tishrei. Kasha lei predasam, it's so difficult for me to see you separated from me. Stay one more day, let's have a party together. And the obvious question is, spending one more day together isn't going to help at all, because it will just intensify the closeness. It will just intensify the relationship. Why does God say spend one more day, and then after one more day He'll say spend another day, and then another day? So explains the Sichor Yitzchaskun in source number 12 that it's really a model for us, that in Mar Cheshvan is our mantra in this whole month. Kasha alei predaseinu, God, it's difficult for us to see you distant from us. We can't bear to have you be far away from us. Mar Cheshvan is about us turning to Hashem saying, we want this closeness. We want to always stay inside the door, inside this special relationship. And that, my friends, is one level of what the name Mar Cheshvan is about. And the asterisk in 13, it's brought down in many of the Svarim, that Mar Cheshvan comes from Mar Chashim Sfateha, to whisper. Your mouth is continuing to talk. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I think many of us have, where after Shmini Atzeret, you suddenly say, you mean I don't say L'David Hashem Ori anymore? I've been saying this all time. And you look in Shmon Esrei, and where are all those additions? It's like we're so used to adding Kapitul Tehillim, or we're adding extra things, and then suddenly, like, we're devoid of everything. Mar Cheshvan, the next month, is as if our mouths are continuing to utter, to whisper. They're continuing to talk. It's like Elul and Tishrei, you have the call, the voice, the sa'aka, the screaming. And now Mar Cheshvan is the ripple effect. It's the whisper. It's the continuing to talk. It's saying, Hashem, I want to be close to you. Hashem, I made all of these Kabbalahs. I took upon myself that I'd be more careful in different areas. Help me, Hashem. Work with me, Hashem. It's about asking Hashem to carry that torch with us as we continue through the next month. Because as we know in 14, it's not like we have highs and then we dip to lows and then back to Pesach a high. after a yantif, there's no havdalah with besamim. Why? Because our nefesh yisera never leaves. As he notes at the end of 14, that sharei ze kol atachli shel yudi ba'olam hazeh, our purpose in this world, sheyeh tamid yoter neshamate, we should be more of a neshama, litalot yoter, to grow more, lizakek yoter, likarev yoter, to come closer, to purify ourselves more. It's all about growing further and further, taking the holiday experience and asking Hashem to help us become closer and closer to Him. Another dimension of this uttering, of this whispering, of this merchishim svateha is found in the insight that Rav Pinkus offers as 1B on how to keep the momentum alive. And he suggests it's a mitzvah, it's the idea of mea brachos, where he says in 15, the mea brachos, 100 blessings a day, it's not just another mitzvah from the Taryag mitzvahs, from the 613 mitzvahs, but ela tzuras achayim, it's a way of life. Surasha lechyot im borei olam, it's a way to live with Hashem. Lifkoshoto, to meet Him. Ledaberei lav, to talk to Him. Surat hachayim hazot hi ayisod shel hayahdut. This is really the fundamental aspect of Judaism. When you live with somebody in your house, you need to have the ability to communicate with this person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives with us. How do we take the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne? How do I take where I become a conduit, a receptacle for God's presence? I don't need a sukkah anymore. I am a complete letter in the Sefer Torah. How do I keep the momentum building and moving on? Because I make a Kadosh Baruch Hu part and parcel of my life. And how do I make Him part and parcel of my life? I talk to Him regularly, 100 times a day. I have a relationship with Hashem. I turn to Him directly, Baruch Atah. I turn to Him, I speak to Him. And as for the Manchester Rav notes in 16, this is learned from the Gemara that says, or the Meir says, one is obligated to recite 100 blessings each day. As it says, V'atah Yisrael, now Israel, what does Hashem your God ask of you? Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says, don't read it as ma, as what, but homiletically read it as mea. What does Hashem want from us? He wants from us 100 blessings a day. 100 blessings to be cognizant and aware of Hashem. The Tiva Avota, Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz, adds another dimension in regard to this idea of focusing specifically on brachos as our way of keeping the momentum alive. And he notes in source 17 on the next page that we say throughout a Rosh Hashanah davening, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Zachreinu L'chaim, right? And then we say, Katveinu B'Sefer Chaim, remember us for life and write us in a book of life. What is the double language of remembering and writing? So the Arizal says, remembering us for life is a reference to Chayus HaNeshama, our spiritual being. The Katveinu B'Sefer Chaim is a reference to our physical being. And the Tiva Voda explains, if you had to choose something that connects our physical and our spiritual together, that would be the food. When I take in food, I allow my physical self to be sustained, and that at the same time allows my spiritual self to be connected to my physical self. And therefore, when I eat food, I'm simultaneously feeding my physical self through the food I eat, as well as I am nurturing my spiritual self through the blessings that I make. And therefore, at the time when I'm focusing in on my spiritual and physical being, this is the time to focus in on that which sustains not only me physically, but me spiritually as well, which are our blessings. And he notes very clearly, he says, we're very conscious of what it is that we intake physically, right? Some of us watch the calories, and we have diets, and we, you know, make sure to have that Cheerio pyramids, right? You all know what I'm talking about. of our fresh fruits and vegetables a day. We're very good at sustaining our physical being. Now for a moment, try to take a look at what your spiritual being looks like. How well are we sustaining that? And he says, anytime we eat without saying a blessing, we're starving that spiritual being. Anytime we say a blessing just because I have to without even thinking and I just mutter a blessing, I'm not sustaining that part of myself. And the Manchester Rav notes that saying a blessing without having a kavana, the end of 22, as stating Yisod V'Shar Shavota, is also transgressed when one pronounces his name without proper kavana. It's saying God's name in vain. Thus, if one's lips move in recitation of a bracha, of a blessing, while his mind is elsewhere, has transgressed the most serious sin. Yet a person can go through his entire lifetime without giving the matter even a moment's thought. It's not only about sustaining ourselves physically, it's about sustaining ourselves spiritually. And to do that is to connect with God every time we ingest the physical food. We are sustaining that spiritual connection with God by making sure we say a blessing before we eat, a blessing after we eat. We make sure the food is kosher. We make sure we have the correct amount that we're eating to necessitate an after bracha. These are the things that we need to be careful with. And he notes, as well as the Manchester Rav in 21 and 24, what really behooves us to do before partaking of any food is just to have some time to contemplation, to stop and look at that which we are consuming. Look at this apple. Do you know that this apple seed, when it was originally planted, God had in mind to give to us? What chesed abore, what kindness that God does for us. And look at the beauty of the apple, how there is a peel around it that keeps it shiny and fresh so it doesn't go brown. Who would like to eat a disgusting brown apple, but a shiny red or green apple? It's such a beautiful sight to the eyes. Appreciate the beauty in all of these aspects before we eat. It sensitizes us to the type of blessings we make. And therefore, for example, in 24 in the arrow, before reciting the blessing of Shakol Nieh Bidvaro, through whose word everything came to be, one should ponder the fact that everything in this vast universe exists only because such is the will of the one and only God. Shakol Nieh Bidvaro, everything is the will of God. Wow, what a blessing, what a statement. And in fact, the Stipler Gaon quoted in the Sefer Chinuch Malchuti in 26 notes that children that are raised in a house where a mother says a blessing slowly and carefully is a home where the children have better quality traits and they're less chutzpahdik. A mother who says this brach of Shakol Nieh Bidvaro out loud is better than all the educational tapes that you can imagine. A mother who says benching slowly out loud creates a tremendous shmira, a tremendous protection over her family. The power of blessings is not only that which connects us to God. The power of blessing has a ripple effect on our family as well, connecting them and protecting them in their relationship with Hashem as well. So therefore, my friends, if we were to summarize this first level, how do we keep the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne? How do I keep the Vasienu, the Eish, the Masua, the fire alive? On the one hand, Marchishin, I need to mutter, utter, whisper, and I say, Hashem, please help me. Kashem, I pray, Daschem, Hashem, it's hard for me to separate with you. I want to stay with you. Help me with my Kabbalos. Help me what I've taken on. Help me move forward. Let's work together. And on the second level, it's being cognizant and aware that before I partake of any physical food, to say a blessing that I'm having a relationship with Hashem and that I'm nourishing my spiritual side. The more conscious I am of this, the more I am feeding and developing that sanctuary that I have built at the end of Sukkot. My friends, if that's the first level, Let's briefly now take a look at a second idea. Neither one are mutually exclusive of what we can work on. Says the Sicha Yitzchatzkut in 27. The time of Mar Cheshvan, the month after Tishrei, is the time of renewal. It's a time of newness. It's a time where we feel like, you know, Sunday in Israel, the kids go back to school. You know, it's like the beginning of the school year today. Now we're really going to learn, right? This is the first, you know, step forward, fresh foot forward. There's hitchatshus, there's a renewal, that this is what we're about, that we have to go through life feeling this newness. Whatever was, I can now start afresh. And here, my friends, he gives us another definition of what the word Mar Cheshvan is about, which I think creates a very powerful imagery. And that is in 27 in the asterisk where he says, Ka'ehaz man sharuchushein mar chashin, shizehu lashon shel rochesh al ha'aretz, kimol chino katan shematchil lizchol al ha'aretz. Rochesh also means, aside from to whisper, it means to crawl. It's the imagery of an infant crawling. And I think what is conjured up in my mind is that Tishrei, the time when Adam HaRishon is born, it's like all of us are born. When a person does tshuva, they're like ketinok shenola dami. They're like an infant. Tishrei is the time, and we spoke about this as well, that we are surrounded completely by God. The sukkah itself is the experience of being b'chek imo, the rabbis speak about, as being in your mother's bosom, that you're being completely surrounded by the mother. And after a month of being taken care of with such intensity and love, it's as if Hashem says, you're now ready for the next step. And the next step is not running, the next step is not, you know, doing leaps and bounds, the next step for a child. And we know this, if you look at current literature, it's imperative that a child go through this next step to really grow developmentally correct, and that's the crawling step. Now's the time to begin to inch forward, to begin to crawl. That's what the month after Tishrei is about, it's crawling. And crawling means that you're starting new beginnings. It's a new phase in your life, and you need to be cognizant of these beginnings. As Rav Wilson speaks about in Wellsprings of Faith in 29, what is a day? So according to abstract time, the time defined by clocks, a day is 24 hours. In contrast, according to real time, the time created by Hashem, a day is a piece of a lifetime. A day is the very medium in which we live. We are surrounded by time as a fish is surrounded by water. But time is even more than that. It is what canvas is to a painter. For time is the medium that records with infinite sensitivity everything we do and everything we are. According to the Zohar, on every day of a person's life, a new day comes down to him from heaven. That day is like a blank sheet of parchment, and whatever a person does is inscribed upon that day. Then, as the day ends, it goes back up to heaven, and a new day comes down. Every day we have this ability of reishi, of newness. And we know, as the Sichos Bavadat Hashem in Source 30 points out, any time you begin something new, a new period in your life, a new project, it's imperative to begin the best way possible. He notes that when you build a building, the most important part of the building is the foundation. If the foundation is very strong, then you can build a tremendous amount on it. And that's why it continues in 31 that the first day of the Jewish calendar year is Rosh Hashanah. We, unlike the world around us, which celebrates New Year's Day by partying and drinking and fireworks, our day is spent the Kedusha Vatara, with a tremendous amount of purity. We want to begin off the day of the first day of the year with holiness. That's going to jumpstart and give the perspective of the entire day, of the entire year. We begin Shabbos with Kiddush, that we begin it with Kiddush, Kiddushim, Kiddusha, with holiness. If you want a Shabbos to be proper, you have to begin it off on the right foot. It's interesting here, Rav Meislish points out in Source 32, and it's appropriate for today, being Sunday. He says, this is why the nations of the world have chosen Sunday as their holiday, because they wanted to start off the week having the control of the week, that Sunday is their day, and the whole week follows them, so to speak. What they don't know is that in Judaism, the day starts the night before. And we have the concept called Tosfos Shabbos, where we add to Shabbos, that even though on the calendar, Shkia may be, right, sunset may be, whatever time, we add a number of minutes to bring Shabbos into the weekday. And by so doing, by adding, and the more we add, the more holiness we impart into the next week. By adding, taking some of the Kedusha of Shabbos and bringing it into Motzei Shabbos, to bring it into Saturday night, which is really in effect in Sunday, we are saying, no, we have created the beginning of the week, and how have we created it? With Tosfos Shabbos, with the adding of Shabbos, with the adding Kedusha, with the adding of holiness. This idea of being able to really begin a foothold of Kedusha, of holiness, is imperative. And that's how Rabbi Tatzin, Living Inspired, points out in 37. We must live on the plane of Chiddush, of newness. We must never expand into the natural. The first law in the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, concerns the beginning of the day, the first obligation of the day. It is fascinating that the first halachic obligation is to get out of bed. Understood superficially, this is good advice. But there's much more than that. What is intended is a basic lesson in beginning. If one is strong as a lion to arise in the morning, if one begins the day with no laziness, not allowing the sluggishness of natural human inertia to contaminate the moment of waking, of first consciousness, then the day can be spiritual, can be elevated. And this is our challenge. How do we take Mar Cheshvan as a continuation of Tishrei to say that I'm going to focus in on my beginnings, that I feel like a katan shenola adami, I feel like a new child, I feel like I'm reborn, that I can begin anew. And this, Sichor Yitzchakut points out in 34, is the connection between the end of Sefer Dvarim and all the wonderful things that Hashem showed, that Moshe showed the Jewish people. Bereshis Bara Elokim. What is one of those wonderful things, the Mora Gogo, a tremendous thing? It's called Bereshis Bara, how you can begin anew. That every day is new. Every day is to inscribe it as a new day of parchment. That we can imprint this day as being unique. Every morning when I get up, I can put in this reishi. I feel like, now that I've gone through this purification process, like I'm able now to have a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start. Take that energy, take that passion, and invest it into every day. Invest it into new projects. Invest it into oneself and one's avodas Hashem, service of God. Having said this, I'd like to focus in the time remaining on one particular aspect that I think allows us to live a life of Yitzchakus, of renewal. And it's an idea that's brought down in Sichor Yitzchakus in Source 36a. He says, every morning we begin saying, Moda'ani lefanecha, that we give thanks to Hashem, that He returned our soul to us, and we end this phrase by saying, Rabba emunasecha, great is God's faith in us. In a wonderful sefer, which I highly recommend, Touched by a Prayer, Volume 1, by Rabbi Yechiel Spiro. And unfortunately, I only read this piece on Simchas Torah after this was already emailed. Otherwise, I would have put it in here. He speaks about that if you would imagine us lending a garment to somebody, and they ruin it, so and they give it back to you soiled, so we'd be a little bit, you know, reticent to give it to them again another day and another day. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us our soul day after day, and we mess it up and we dirty it, and yet Hashem cleans it for us and gives it back. Why? Rabba emunasecha. Because God has a tremendous amount of faith in us. God knows, as He says here, no matter how many times we have made it dirty and failed in our responsibility to keep it clean, you can, Moda'ani, you never give up on us. And that gives us the courage to respond by never giving up on ourselves and continually trying to draw closer to you. when we know that every day Hashem believes in us, and we know, as we'll speak about in Yiratzeh Hashem now, every day God gives us new energy and new life experiences for us to grow. When we wake up saying those two words, Rab Amunasecha, God, you have so much faith in me, that fills me with faith in myself, that I recognize, you know what? Hey, I can do it. Hey, I can be different. Hey, I can move forward. I can be a level of Yitzchatzos. The key is that when I believe that someone believes in me as great as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it helps me believe in myself. You know, it reminds me when our little one was 3.5, I overheard, obviously no one overhears anything by accident, happened to be passing by where she was in an afternoon program with 3 to 5-year-olds in this program. And they were doing a lot of cooking, you know, like a cooking hook. And I overheard like a 5-year-old say to the teacher, Hannah can't have a knife, she's just a little kid, she's only 3.5. And the teacher says, no, she can't. I know she can cut without a problem. Now, obviously, I made sure all 10 fingers were there when she got home. But in all seriousness, that belief and trust that that teacher imparted in her has given her, and still she has within her, that faith that she can do it. And then when I give her that knife and people look at me and say, you must be nuts, obviously with caution and with supervision, but that confidence breathes a certain amount of responsibility. So often we're afraid to give because of our own nervousness. But when we give that confidence over, they're able to, obviously with discretion, utilize it to the fullest. Now, my friends, source 38, our job in this world is to take advantage of whatever opportunities come our way, not relying on tomorrow's or next week's possibility. This comes from the Sefer Ascending the Path of Yaakov Hillel L'Mitzvos Yisharim. And it continues. Also, it is important to realize that what comes our way is far from by the way. It is precisely and exactly planned by Hashem, who knows which specific mitzvos we need for the rectification of our own individual soul. Every Jewish soul which comes into this world has a purpose to complete and perfect itself through mitzvos. It is possible that in a previous existence of a soul had already fulfilled certain mitzvos, but was lacking in others. If opportunities for specific mitzvos arise, it is a clear indication that they are what we need to achieve our personal fulfillment and perfection. A single such occurrence may be the golden opportunity our soul requires, so much so that we may have been born exclusively to take advantage of this one chance. If we forfeit it, it may never come again. Unfortunately, as he continues in 39, our Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, has a lot of inside information about our soul, and therefore, that we are ignorant of, and therefore, it tries to distract us. It tries to create impediments that will throw us off course. But our job, and this, my friends, is the mindset of crawling. Our job, in order to be able to grow in our Avodas Hashem, our service of God, is literally step by step, inch by inch, whatever comes our way, recognize that here is an opportunity for me to utilize this opportunity. It's a task for me to pass, to respond correctly to demands of the moment. In 41, the commentary of the Avnei Nachal, he continues, says that Hashem knows in advance precisely what our capacities are. And he has everything that's tailor-made for us to be able to achieve our spiritual goals at every moment. And he knows, and yet we witness to a strange phenomena, faced with an opportunity for fabulous profit or surefire success, we would never let it dissolve through neglect. For example, if we are present at an auction where a priceless antique was being offered at an amazing bargain price, we would not wait around before offering our bid. We would certainly not stop to have a cup of coffee first. We would plunge in and grab it fast. But somehow, when it comes to the spiritual millions and guaranteed success in hearing God's commandments, we have time to dawdle. It can wait another week, another month, another year. tomorrow is not instead of today. Once today is lost, it is gone forever. And here the Sichot Yitzchak in the sources 43 through 45 develops this. This is what we say in Shema, Bechol Veldecha. Rashi Chazal no Bechol Mido Mida. In every measure that God measures out for us. My friend, the imagery of crawling is not an accidental imagery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like with a baby, that we make sure what is around this baby. We childproof our house. We know what toys we're trying to stimulate the baby with. We create that path. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at every step of our way, from the beginning of time, knows exactly what is going to come across and plans what is going to come across our way at every moment of our day. So when your five-year-old comes over to you to show you a picture in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei, that was decided at the beginning of creation. This is your challenge. Your five-year-old is annoying you. How are you going to respond? We had the situation of a cat coming into shul during the Kriya of the sixth day of creation on Simchas Torah. And I was thinking about this, right? 5,768 years ago, whatever it is, God knew that there was going to be a little cat that he had planned to come through that was going to distract us from listening to Kriya Satorah. Our job is to say, am I going to be distracted or not? My friends, this is the imagery through light. Where when we're talking about what is Mar Cheshvan about, it's about feeling that closeness that Hashem has with us. And just like an infant, God picks us up very often. A child doesn't stay crawling for long. After a while, you pick them up and then put them down again. That is that closeness. After the Tishrei experience, God is very close to us. And He allows us to crawl forward. And He says, recognize that I'm still there. I'm there every single moment. Every life experience that happens to us, every guy that cuts into our lane, whatever it may be, the person who cuts online at the bank, whatever it is all tailor-made 5,768 years ago. Our job is to see how we respond to these events. And what we have to do is to respond appropriately and recognize it's a step by step response, moment by moment. Before we conclude with our final idea and then Amir Tashem summarize, I'd like to share a story. I think it's a story that on some level reflects this idea of being able to grab the moment and to be able to move forward crawling step by step. It's a story that Rabbi Spiro tells in the Sefer Touched by a Prayer as well. It's in Rabbi Kaplan's Sefer, Major Impact. The city is Cholon, which is a city in Israel. Most people know it for the children's museum that's found there. It is not what you call a popular city. Many people who visit Israel probably have never been to Cholon. I will say personally, we've lived here now 5 years, I don't believe I've ever been to Cholon. It's not one of those places that you frequent. Cholon also has a very small, relatively speaking, religious community. And there is tension, obviously, in many communities between the religious and not yet religious. So the religious community in Cholon had decided they wanted to build a big base medrash, a big study hall. And they were nervous to build it in the center of town. How would it look to the non-religious or not yet religious people in town? So they went to Rav Shach Zatzal Gadol Ador and asked him what to do. And Rav Shach says that the beacon of light of Torah is so powerful, put the Beis Medrash, the study hall, in the center of town. And that's what they did. And the boys started learning, and married fellows in the Kolo were learning there. And a number of months after the Beis Medrash was established, and one evening an elderly gentleman entered into the back of the Beis Medrash, a gentleman who was involved in Shomer HaTzair, not religious at all. And he sits and he listens for a while to the learning, and he begins to sob, he begins to weep. One of the boys comes over and sees this elderly gentleman crying and says, you know, is everything okay? Can we help you out? So he says, let me tell you a story. He says, in the War of Independence in 1948, he says, I was fighting One of the most difficult battles that I was involved with was a particular hill where the Arabs had a village on top of the hill, and we were trying to take over this hill, and it was a strategic point that we really needed this hill. And obviously they were in a much better position than we, and we lost many, many people that day. Comrades and friends were killed in this battle. And then it was our turn for my group to go to try to take over this village. And I took my rifle on my back and thinking to myself, I'm not even sure I'll ever see my family again. And as we were grouping together to have a strategic plan on how to head up the hill, there was one young fellow with the kippah on his head, a religious fellow, who took a book out of his pocket, and he began to sing a very special song in reciting this book. And I turned to him and I said, is this a prayer? Is this Psalms? He says, no. He says, I'm learning Mishnah. And I never heard of Mishnah. But it was such a sweet sing-song that he was singing in singing this Mishnah. And he sung it for a while and repeated a number of paragraphs. And then he closed it and we began going up the hill. He says, ultimately, this man continued, we won this war, we captured the hill. But it wasn't after many more casualties, among which was this young boy who had learned this Mishnah. He was also killed in this battle. And he says, for years now, that tune, that sing-song has been in my head. And I've been wanting so desperately to try to bring this song back, to so desperately hear this song again of that calmness, of the platitude that this young soldier had. And he said, it has been now many, many years, 1948 to the 1990s, until I've heard this song. And tonight I was walking through the center of town in Cologne, and through the window I heard that same sing-song that I have not heard in these 50 years. And I came in to listen to this sing-song. And then he turned to the boys and he says, is it too late for me? And they said, it's never too late. And the man began to learn, and the man returned back to Yiddishkeit and became a Baal Tshuva. And a year later, this man made a siyum on a masecha and a mishnayos, and he dedicated the siyum to that young soldier who 40 years earlier sparked him with that sing-song of that Mishnah. That, my friends, is responding to the moment. That, my friends, is crawling literally up the hill, day by day, stage by stage, to grow. It's never too late. Opportunities that come to us are challenged. How do we take the Vilvavi Mishkan Evne, that spark, that fire, take those opportunities in life, the moment-by-moment opportunities, the major opportunities, and respond to them. Our final idea, and then we'll summarize, my friends. This also helps us explain the idea that our rabbis say in Sichot Yitzchak notes in 46, that one who says the bracha of Shakol Nieh B'Dvaro, which is a bracha that we say on anything that doesn't grow from the ground or from a tree, it's a very general bracha, like we say on drinks, we say on chocolate, on candy. He says, it's a tremendous skula to lessen the judgments. Why? Because what are we saying in this bracha? We're emphasizing shakol, that everything, nishlach elav, the asterisk in 46, mikalach hadibur shal shem yisparach, everything is being sent from the word of Hashem. Every word that I hear, every time my children don't listen to me, every time I have my friends don't listen to me, or every time, you know, I get a flat tire, or whatever it is in life, shakol, everything, nieh b'dvaro, has come from the word of Hashem. This is what Hashem has decided from the beginning of time. When I'm able to recognize this, when I'm able to emphasize this idea, then I'm able to discover godliness. I'm able to see that God is intimately involved in my life. That just like that crawling child who the parent is supervising, hopefully, and they're not just crawling off on their own, but there's a parent watching over them, So too, that's the imagery, Mar Cheshvan, Rosh Hashim, of Rochesh, that we too are crawling. We too are taking those experiences in life, and we say that everything that happens to us in life is being directed by the One above, and our challenge is to respond and respond appropriately. And therefore, my friends, in summation, I believe that we can go back to the title, Mar Cheshvan, now what? And really see how the title summarizes our idea. On the one hand, Mar Cheshvan is about now. It's about taking the moments, about taking the reshits, it's about taking the beginnings and acting. It's about crawling before you run and jump. It's right after Tishrei that in order to be able to develop in our service to God, it's literally crawling one step at a time, seeing how Hashem is involved intimately in my life, and now, at every moment, being able to respond appropriately. And Mar Cheshvan is also about what we spoke about, the Gemara, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaom Imcha. What does Hashem want from you? He wants Mea Brachos. What does God want? He wants relationship. He wants connection. Mar Cheshvan from Rosh Hashim, from the whispering, from the utterance. That we talk to Hashem, that we relate to Hashem, we ask Hashem for help, and that we have this communication with Him 24/7, 100 blessings a day, our ability to talk, our ability to communicate. And therefore, I'm then able to take that Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, to take that sanctuary I've built in my heart, that perfected Sefer Torah, and say, I'm not just leaving it. I've taken the gold and I'm able to cash in the check and to use it. My relationship with Hashem is dynamic. It's a process. I'm talking to Him all the time. I feel the distance from Hashem is difficult, and I ask Hashem, stay with me. I talk with Him at all times, as well as I take the opportunities that Hashem gives me. I utilize those opportunities. I feel His presence. I feel His direction. And with that type of intimate relationship, we're able then to take the experience of Tishrei and allow it to become part and parcel of our everyday lives in the month of Mar Cheshvan and Emir Tz Hashem for an entire lifetime.